that singing, say amen. I do concur with what they were singing about. He certainly has been good to us. I thank him for that. It's come time for our final message for this morning service and for this week. Brother Tom Gillum has blessed our hearts and challenged us through the Word of God. And I look forward to hearing what he has to say this morning. And Brother Tom, you just take the time you need and preach to us what the Lord's put in your heart. I love you.
I love you, sir. If you have a Bible this morning, you'll find our text in the book of Revelations. Book of Revelations. We thank the Lord for the privilege to be at Taylorsville again this year. All that has gone into this meeting. And appreciate Brother Steve, Brother Rule, Brother Jamie, and the good Calvary Baptist folks. We do not take it for granted the privilege to stand in this place. Thank the Lord for what he's done as we have moved from service to service. I often think foolish thoughts, and I had a foolish thought this morning. You Brent Carr ladies, he said that he likes to put that GPS on mute so that woman won't talk to him. Now, don't y'all do this anytime soon. Wait several months before you do. And when he's singing lead, y'all come in, put it on mute lip sync, and see what he does. He'll not use that illustration again. It's a good foolish thought, ain't it? Well, we have been preaching in these morning service on the subject of will heaven be worth it? Will heaven be worth it? And oftentimes when we talk about heaven and the coming of the Lord, we always talk about the eschatological views that man has argued over for so many years, and pre-trib and pre-meal and all of that. None of the Bible writers were any of those things, hadn't invented them yet. And they just believe he's coming, he's looking for it. And so I've been drawn not so much to those viewpoints as five words, and we have been looking at them in the morning, taking one word each morning. One, anticipation. I tell you, I don't care what your eschatological views, you may have it all charted out, arrows going up, arrows coming down. If you're not anticipating him coming, I'd can what I had and get me something else. Amen. It's worthless. Preparation. We looked at a destination. I'm headed to a land where I'm already there. Amen. And then yesterday morning we looked at celebration. This morning we want to look at coronation. Webster's defines the word coronation as the ceremony of crowning a sovereign as king. Our emphasis has been upon a little quote by C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis said that history shall bear it out that those who have the most eternal effect upon the world they lived in will be the people who thought much and most about the world to come. I find we're having less and less effect upon this world. It's going to hell in a handbasket. And I fear it is because we think very little. Oh, we'll think about it during these days. When we leave here, we're back to thinking earthly thoughts. He said they think much and most about the world to come. Amen. This morning, we want to draw our attention to the coronation ceremony. Our brother's last sermon has not bothered me at all. He preached all around what I wanted to say and didn't say nothing about what I want to say, so it ain't going to bother me a bit. I like the way God does that. I want us to look this morning at what this place will be like during this coronation ceremony. And I want us to draw our attention to the fact that it will be a place of new things. A place of new things. If you've got the Bible there, Revelation chapter number 2. Don't miss the little word new. It is extremely important in the book of Revelations. It means freshly made. It has the idea of being unusual and one of a kind, never been used, and it is only used once. Remember that definition. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. You'd almost think the people in those days must have been something nuclear in the water and they was born without ears. Jesus all the time talking about, hey, if you got ears, listen to me. Of course, he wasn't talking about these ears. It's talking about these ears. Some of you got good ears up here, but you ain't never heard nothing down here. Huh? I remember the first time I realized that God talked to me. You say, preacher, you heard him up here? No, I heard him down there. He got so loud down there, I thought I was hearing him up here. It hath ears, let him hear. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone. And in the stone, he said, every one of my children, when you get home, he said, I've got a new, freshly made. It's unusual. There'll be nobody else in heaven with this name that I'm going to give you. I was interested in that little word name. It is the word for a pet name. A name by which one would use to dote upon another. He said, I ain't give nobody else this name. He said, it's only going to be for you. I tell you, that make it worth the trip right there just to find out what the name is. Amen. Wow. Getting an itch to go this morning. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm telling you, there has been a lot of preparation made for this city and this coronation service. And not only did he say there would be a new name, but he says in Revelation chapter number 5 and verse number 9, they shall sing a new song. This is a song, one of its kind, never been sung before. It'll be sung for the first time there. It is unusual. Nobody else has sung this song. And Jordan, I got good news for you. There will be no need for practice. Love the hound out of that, don't you? Of course, I did not know if you knowed it or not. It won't be nothing but congregational singing up there. They'll not call you up to do a special. Ruh-roh. And none, absolutely zero, of the singing will be done this way. It'll all be done that way. I love to get around people that sing that way. Not that way. They go to singing that way, they'll help people this way. Huh? All that stuff, we do our hands at the same time, we turn all at the other same time, makes me sick. Are you listening to me this morning? There'll be a new song there. I love that, don't you? He says in Revelation chapter, and we're talking about this place where we're going to crown him. It's a place of new things. He says in Revelation 21, verse number 1, I saw a new heaven and the what? New earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Wow. Gracious. He says, I'm going to have a new heaven, a new earth. What in the world happened to the one we're living on? Peter said that one day the whole globe is going to burn up and the heavens are going to be on fire. You better get word to those Jehovah's Witnesses that's going to inherit the earth. Tell them to hold on. She's fixing to blow. Are you listening to me this morning? I heard an old preacher say not long ago, he believed that that was a nuclear explosion. I don't believe a word of it. You ever hear somebody preaching? Old preacher friend of mine down in Florida, I used to be in service with him. He leaned over to me. He said, that's good preaching. And he said, I don't believe a word of it. I don't believe it'll be a nuclear explosion. He said, by him all things are held together. I believe when he steps out of here, he'll look behind him, a whole thing will blow up. And he's going to make the other side this side. And we're going to dwell there forever.
Amen.
Wow. I'm telling you, this is a place of new things where we're going to crown him king. But watch this. Oh, this is so good, I hate to even show you this. I know you ain't going to believe this. If you've got the Bible there, Revelation chapter number 7, it's going to be a place of no things. Wow. I am excited. I am thrilled this morning. It might not thrill you, but I am plumb excited this morning about what ain't going to be there. Huh? I just get beside myself when I think about the things that won't be there. In Revelation chapter 7 and verse 16, he says, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore. There'll be nobody down on Glory Boulevard with a sign, we will work for food. There'll be none of it over there. I love that, don't you? Do you ever give any money to them people got them signs? Real work for food. I try to give one something to everyone I might see if I'm on foot. I try to, but I always ask them a question. Where are they going when they die? I have never talked to one of them that was on their way to hell. They're always on their way to heaven. And I take them over to that verse in Psalms where he said he'd never seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging bread. And I've never found one of them give me an answer to that. Are you listening to me? Over there, ain't nobody got a sign. We'll work for food. I love that, don't you? Oh, that'd be worth you shouting right there. Here's a good one. Place of no things. Revelation chapter 10. This will mess some of you up. It'll take you a million years to get over this one. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 10 verse 6. And he swear by him that liveth forever and ever, created heaven and things that are therein, the earth and the things that are therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, and that there should be what? No more. Give us about 30 minutes. Give us what? We ain't got no way to time it. No more time up there. No calendar. You ain't going to tell nobody I'll meet you in the morning. How would they tell? You'll not hear anybody over there say, just a minute. Oh, no. There's no minutes, no hours over there. Time shall be over. That'd be worth you shouting about this morning. Because some of you are already thinking, man, I wish you'd hurry up. I got to get on the road. Well, are you listening? No more time. Revelation chapter 21. The first time I ever saw this little no, place of no things, I thought to myself, John, were you smoking something when you stuck this in here? It don't make no sense at all for you to have stuck that where you stuck it. For a long time, I just didn't have no idea. What in the world would he stick that there for? Revelation 21:1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. You remember, he's blowed up this side. He made the other side this side. Then he makes this statement. And there was no more sea. What in the world would you want to stick that in there for? Everywhere in the Bible, when anybody ever had to transition from one place to another, they always had a sea experience. He said, when you bump up on the shores of great deliverance, anchor down. He said, we ain't going no more forever. For a guy and a gal that rides the roads 250 nights a year, ain't put no clothes in no dresser drawers for 25 years. I told her this morning when we was packing up, I said, I'll miss a lot of things about evangelism if I can't go no more, but I rest assured I'll never cry about having to pack my junk up again and put it in a car. Be no more seas over there. We gonna stay there forever. I'm talking about, will heaven be worth it? I see also in chapter 21 in verse 4, he says, and God shall wipe away. What? Gonna be no tears over there. He says in our text, he says, there'll be no more death over there. He said, neither sorrow. He said, no more crying over there. Neither shall there be any time out. Hold on. No more what? I'd like to have a show of hands this morning. I ain't going to embarrass you. I ain't going to say nothing to you. I'm going to raise mine to start with. Is there anybody in this building that any part of your body is hurting right now? Thank you so much. I tell you what, you'll not be able to put your hand up there. There'll be nothing about you hurting. I love to get up in the morning, and I'm thrilled that nothing new is hurting. I didn't say that nothing was hurting, nothing new was hurting, and everything's working like it was when I went to bed. He said, when you get over there, zero pain. I love that, don't you? That ought to make it worth you going right there. Huh? No more pain. I thought this was interesting. He says in our text in chapter 21 and verse 25, this probably won't mean a hill of difference to any of you. But this is my favorite thing that'll not be over there. Verse 25, and the gates of it shall be shut at all the day. The gates won't be shut, for there shall be no... Well, here's an old boy that doesn't like the dark. I've never liked the dark. I've got two Georgia power poles hanging on either end of my house. They come on at dusk dark. They do not go off until the sun rises. The birds won't even roost in my yard. They think it's sunshining over there all the time. There's a 100-watt bulb burning in the middle of my house unless it's blown out since I left. You say you're crazy. What in the world you want to burn a 100-watt bulb in your house for? Somebody breaks in. I want them to be able to see what they're doing. I don't want them to have to make a mess.
If you were to come by this house here where we're staying in, some of you would look at it and say, well, the Gillums are up. No, they just got the lights on. I don't like darkness. I'm glad when I get over there, I don't have to worry about it. It ain't never going to get dark. You ain't going to flip the lights out on me unless you flip him out. You can sing, let this little light shine if you want to. It won't work up there. That light's too big for you to blow it out. Huh? I love that, don't you? No more darkness over there. Hey, I ought to get a shout out of you men on this next one. 22. We're talking about a place of no things. 22:3, and there shall be no more curse there. I was wondering this morning, not asked you men to show your hands. You might want to smile or just tip your head towards me, I don't know. How would you like to go somewhere where it would be impossible for you to ever have another dirty thought? Yeah. Huh? Wow. Some of the dirtiest thoughts I've had is at a Baptist church. Mine's wicked. Boy, I tell you what, it'll be wonderful to be in a place one day where I ain't got to be on guard. Ain't nothing coming through here but pure, holy thoughts. No more curse. I'm telling you, this place called heaven, it will be worth it. And I also mentioned to you this morning that it'll be a place of naming things, naming things. If you've got your Bible there, turn to our text that our brother just preached from, Revelation 19. I love the way he preached all around it and never hit it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Revelation 19:12. He says his eyes were a flaming fire, on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Do you see that word name there? It's the same as that word that he used with new name. He said, I've got a name for myself up there. He said, I'll tell you about it when I tell you about the name I got for you. He said, it's a pet name. He said, you're going to use it to dote on me throughout eternity. He said, I'll tell you when I see you. Wow. He's got a name for his bridegroom, every individual one in it. And he said he's got a name for the bridegroom as well as every individual in the bride that we can dote on one another with it. Wow, this heaven's going to be sloshy, isn't it? It's going to be smoochy, I think. Huh? Oh, it's a place of naming things. But could I close with this thought? It'll be a place of noble things. I notice in Revelation chapter 2, verse number 10, there will be crowns for us. He's got diadem crowns for you and for me, his redeemed. Well, what are they like, preacher? Look at Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. He says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried. Ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a diadem of life. He says, I'll give you a crown of life. Over in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 4, he says, and around about the throne were 24 seats, and upon them seats I saw 24 elders. They were clothed in white raiments, and they had on their heads crowns of gold, transparent as the glass. That little word, gold. What in the world are we going to do with those crowns God's going to give us to put on our heads? What did they do with them? I noticed in verse 10, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and did what? They did something you ain't never tried. That little word worship there has two pictures to it. One is to kiss the hand of another multiple times like a dog licking the hand of his master. Wow, these people have gone crazy. The second picture of the word is to put the face in the ground. What in the world are they doing? They're worshiping him. Well, what? They're going to drop their crowns off their head. They go to putting their face down. No, he said here for the put the face down. They cast their crowns at his feet. Crowns for us. Well, what in the world he'd do with all them crowns? You talking about zillions of people, a number that no man could number. What in the world's he going to do with them? You got your Bible there, Revelation chapter 19. I'm glad he preached all around it, but he never hit it at all. Do you realize the context of our brother's message this morning? He never said anything about the context, and I am so glad. Revelations 19:7, let us be glad and rejoice. Give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and the wife hath made herself ready. We have had a wedding. We have cast our crowns at his feet. What in the world would be better than a wedding with Jesus? It would be to take a honeymoon trip. He's getting all the white horses out, and we're going on a honeymoon trip. And he said, I'm going to be riding out in front. And he said, all them crowns you throwed at my feet, he said, I'm going to stack them as far as the sky is high on top of my head. And he said, we're coming riding into Jerusalem. If you're still here and you're lost, look for me on CNN. I'm riding high with him. Love that, don't you? Huh? C.S. Lewis said, those that have the greatest effect upon the world they're living in are those who think much, most about heaven. I read you a little article headed towards closing. This little article was found in the meager belongings of a Zimbabwe pastor in Africa after his head was severed from his body for preaching the gospel. They said they found these words scratched on a piece of paper. They feel like that he wrote these words down just before he died. And I was wondering if you think he thought very much about heaven. I was wondering if you would think after I read this that he's still affecting the world that he lived in eternal way. He wrote these words. He said, I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. He said, the die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. He said, the decision has been made. I am a disciple of His. He said, I won't look back. He said, I won't let up. He said, I won't slow down. He said, I won't back away. He said, I won't be still. He said, my past is redeemed. He said, my present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm done and finished with low living. He said, I am done and finished with sight walking. He said, I am done and finished with small planning. He said, I am done and finished with smooth knees. He said, I'm done. I'm finished with careless dreams, tamed visions, mundane talking, cheap living, dwarfed goals. I no longer need the preeminence. He said, I no longer need prosperity. He said, I no longer need a position. He said, I don't need a promotion. He said, I don't need man's applause. He said, I don't need popularity. I don't have to be right. He said, I don't have to be first. I don't have to be at the top. I don't have to be recognized. I don't have to be praised. I don't have to be rewarded. I live by faith. I lean on His presence. I walk by His patience. I lift by prayer, and I labor by Holy Ghost power. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road may be narrow. My way is rough. My companions are few, but my guide is reliable, and my mission is clear. I will not be bought. I will not compromise. I will not detour. I will not be lured away. I'll not turn back. I'll not be deluded or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice or hesitate in the presence of the adversary. I will not negotiate at the table of the enemy. I'll not ponder at the pool of popularity. I'll not meander around the maze of mediocrity. He said, I won't give up. He said, I won't shut up. I won't let up until I've stayed up, stored up, and prayed up, and paid up and preached up for the cause of Christ. He said, I'm a disciple of Jesus. I must give until I drop, preach until all know, and work until He comes. And when He does come for His own, He'll not have any problems recognizing me. He said, I'll be flying His colors. You know anything about a place called heaven, you're fixing to get your head cut off and you'd act like that. Huh? I love what the old songwriter said. The old songwriter said it like this: crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon the throne. Hark how the heavenly anthems drown all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of Him who died for thee. Hail Him as the matchless King throughout all eternity. Would you stand with me this morning? I was wondering this morning, could it be our lack? I know the world's in bad shape. We like to blame it on everybody but ourselves. Them old Democrats letting that stuff out the closet. All that Supreme Court stuff. That's what's wrong with America. I don't believe so. I believe C.S. Lewis was right. Reason why we're not having much effect upon this world that we're living in is because we think very little about the world to come. I don't know about you. I wonder if maybe you'd like to get in this sawdust this morning, draw you a line in the sawdust through prayer, and say, I want to spend the rest of my days thinking much and most about the world to come, that I can affect the world that I'm living in. While we wait, they're going to sing for us. Altars open. Maybe you're here lost this morning.